last year, we're holding on Sefer Mishnah Beis. We finished Sefer Hey. At the end, we came close enough that Shabbos clock should be within range, that we could sort of like claim this some of the issues of Shabbos clocks on this simon over here. So I mean, the Bir Halacha we spoke about dealt with this issue of Malacha. So I mean, let's start with the simple case. The simple scenario: a person sets the Shabbos clock before Shabbos, that something should happen on Shabbos. So he's not doing anything at all on Shabbos. That's all these cases over here. You're arranging it before Shabbos. It's happening on Shabbos. The most comparable case, the most similar case would be the case of the setting up the mitzvahs. Person sets up the traps before Shabbos, and on Shabbos the trap will actively trap. The animal will trip it, and the trap will close on the animal's leg. It's actively doing something. It's not continuous like the case of, let's say, the case of the irrigation. It's continuous. He opens up the canal, and the water's flowing from before Shabbos to Shabbos. But over here, the action will actually take place on Shabbos. He set it up before Shabbos. It's 100% mutter. That's what we're saying. That case is mutter, because he set it before Shabbos. So the only issue is we do have, at the end of the last case, the case of the Rechayim, setting up before Shabbos and going into Shabbos, we have the problem of Avshemilsa, of the noise. We had two explanations of what the problem was, either because the noise itself is problematic or because it draws attention and then there's a kashat. Sir Moshe was asked about setting an alarm clock. So he said alarm clocks make noise. That's by definition what they're about, right? You know, he's talking about a mechanical alarm clock. So he said that would be a problem. The derech is set it beforehand. Most people set their alarm clock before they go to bed at night time. So it means the time you'd be setting it would be on Shabbos. So it'll go off Shabbos morning, loudly. So that's an option. So it's bringing attention to itself. And people say, well, he set it last night. Assuming that had you set it last night, that would be problematic to set it. The question is, what exactly are you doing? I mean, there's no malach involved over there. It was mechanical. So what exactly are you? So I'm setting it for Friday night that it should ring Shabbos morning. Shabbos morning, a spring will move and it'll cause a sound. So I'm generating that. So. I guess you go back to the times of the old alarm clocks. They actually had a wind. Remember those? Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. We're talking to the crowd is old enough to remember that. Right? So maybe you could argue it's along the lines of the chayotim. So the chayotim, which Mishabura sort of mentions over here, he talks about the case of pulling the weights on the grandfather clock. The Chayotim says that could be that's a deraisa. So what's the deraisa involved over there? Because a clock which doesn't tell time is not a clock. So here that you're moving it from not telling time to telling time by moving the weights and making it able to tell time, that's mamash atikun on the deraisa level. That's the Chayotim's argument. That's at the deraisa level. So, by a clock, that's a good argument, right? By an alarm clock, it's hard to say, well, if it can't give the alarm, it's a broken kli, and when winding it, you're fixing it. That's deratashmish, how you use it. Shlomo Zalman says this, he's mechalik between the case of the grandfather clock and a refrigerator. Or it's, somebody wants to argue that when you similar to what he's saying over here, when you open the door of the refrigerator, and because of that, the refrigerator, the compressor turns on, that's comparable to pulling the weights of the grandfather clock. That was what somebody suggested. So Shlomo Zalman said that's incorrect. Because a clock, when it stops, is not a clock. Right? Refrigerator, when the compressor is off, it's not a refrigerator. The nature of the refrigerator is that it turns on and it turns off. You don't want your compressor going all the time. You'd have a broken refrigerator and a tremendous electric bill. The nature of the refrigerator is that it compresses when the temperature is warmer inside of the refrigerator. The compressor turns on and it cools it. And then it doesn't keep cooling it. Because we don't want everything. Your goal isn't to make the temperature negative 50. Your goal is to make the temperature 30 degrees, whatever the 30, 35, 40 degrees, whatever the number is. So that's not broken. That's how it functions. It functions by cycling on and off. So that's, so Hisham Zalman says opening a refrigerator and causing the compressor to go on would not be a problem. Hisham Zalman actually holds refrigerators. That issue, not everybody agrees with him, but that's what he holds. Okay, so that's what we're talking about, case of turning on something mechanical, and the chashash is the option milsa. Most time clocks, that wasn't the issue. The issue was, so now the question is, what is your time clock doing? So my time clock is turning on lights. Turning on lights, there's no option milsa, there's no noise. There's no noise involved, so like, what's the problem? Right? So the chara, that shouldn't be a problem. The question which first came up, Ramosha dealt with the shayla, using a time clock to turn on an air conditioner. So, which is a very good point. You know, if people in general are not using time clocks on an air conditioner, somebody walks by, all of a sudden your air conditioner goes, shh, like, where'd that come from? You turn on, you assume the person turned on his air conditioner on Shabbos. So it's an option mill, so it makes a lot of noise, and it calls attention to itself, and there's a potential for chashad. So Ramosha held you cannot use time clocks to turn on air conditioners.
Even though air conditioners typically cycle on and off, even when they run normally.
Right. Even, you know, the window units, for the window units, even though they cycle on and off, the fan is going loudly all the time. If it's quiet, I mean, your air conditioner is not working. Right? You remember those? You remember those also, right? Right? They were constantly making noise, right? So Ramosha held that was a problem. But, could you argue at some point in time that it became so common amongst the Yidden to use time clocks for air conditioners, even though it may be wrong to start, but now they became so common that made it mutter? Maybe you could argue such an argument. But he was against that. And then Ramosha said, well, he says, if Chazal would be around nowadays, the same way Chazal Aser and Amir La'akum, because otherwise you're going to be busy your whole Shabbos having malachas done ayadei the Akum, and you're just basically in the world of business, etc. So I could run a whole factory on automation nowadays. So I could be my factory, not do anything, and oversee, make sure that everything's running wonderful, and I have one guy, shoes to shoes, and everything is wonderful. Welcome, Hefzad Gadol, and I can be busy with my factory the whole shop. So that's clearly not what Chazal wanted you to do. He sees that as being an expression of the Isser Amir Al-Akum. And he suggests that it's also. Now, Shalos, you can't make an Uxera. He's saying that that's clearly Ruach HaDorim and what Chazal wanted, but it says, Mamash Osir, they quote Rosh Hashanah that it's Osir. Ramosha in one place talks, says the Lashon, it sounds like it's Osir. It's very hard to understand. He really means it's really bona fide Osir, because we can't make an Uxera. We could say, clearly it's not what we're supposed to be doing. Yes. They say it's Osir. The question is, let's say you assume that time clocks are mutter. So Rosh Hashanah Zalman dealt with, he assumed the time clocks are mutter. You know, the question is changing the time clock. That was the most common question. So in the non-digital time clocks, you know, the where you had pins, so that's what he was talking about. You don't have to stop the process to change anything. You just want to pull a pin out, put a pin in. So it's going anyway. The question is, I want to put a pin in that it should, the light should go on earlier. Or I want to pull the pin out, the light should not go off. Or I want that the light should go off later. Like, he deals with all the scenarios. So his basic shita is that anything which you're doing, which is just to maintain the state that it's in, so the lights are on, you want to say that the lights should stay on, that's not also. There is something which is coming, which is going to turn it off. You stop that. So you didn't. You weren't garring the lights to burn. You were garring. What your maisa was to take away the garring, which will take it away. Right. So, but on the other hand, to turn on the lights earlier, he held that was a problem. If right now the lights are off, the lights are supposed to go on, and you want the lights to go on earlier, he held that was a problem.
Well, what problem?
He said that's for some form of a groma. We'll see later on. The groma is also made a rabbon, right? On Shabbos, it's not also mitzvah. So there's Gemara on Shabbos that groma is only mitzvah. It says more passes lashon of asiyah is also groma's mut. So just causing something to happen by Shabbos, clearly groma is not kai. Is it true by other areas? You know, there's Musa Grumman by other areas as well. A Shabbos is the same everywhere else. That's a good discussion. So we'll get there. There is an Isser Grumma, let's assume in Rabbanim. That's not so simple. So causing it to go on earlier is a form of a Grumma. Right? Whereas causing it to go on, to stay on, you're not really doing anything. It's not even a Grumma. You're just maintaining the state that it's in. This ayat's muksa, this machine is made to turn on, the on and off lights or whatever it is. So he says, no, as much as I'm telling you that this way, this is mutter, it means there's a mutter way to use it, then it's not muksa. It's a klisha malata lisra laheter, you can use it for both things. So it has uses as which are heter, uses as which are iser. So he basically was makel on it, and the Shemir Shabbos Kehillah, so which became one of the primary svarim for a lot of the original technology which was out there, followed Rosh Hashanah Zalman. So Mele became like the most well-known psak on these issues and became the most mekumadik psak on these issues. Okay. Let's see Sivvav. Person should not go out early close to Shabbos. So the Mora has a case over there, a person who was a tailor carrying a machat, but it's loved afka machat. Velebekumusoi are not carrying his quill. Right? We're afraid that he might forget that he has it in his hand when it comes. He'll continue to carrying it even after Shabbos started. They used to tefillin the whole day. So it's mutter to a person to be carrying tefillin. Wearing tefillin, because the halacha is you're not misayat das from your tefillin. See, he's aware of the fact that he's wearing it. He'll remember to take it off and put it away before Shabbos. Now, let's see the Mishnah Berurah over here. B'matla b'wadin k'sharach l'shar chayfitz b'yodah. This issue is carrying any item. Okay. B'yodah b'wadin k'sharach l'shar chayfitz munach l'bikisoy. If it's in your pocket, it's also a problem. Derech hutsohi b'chayim b'shabbos. So anything which, if we carry out on Shabbos in that way, he'd be chayiv. We have this concern before Shabbos that a person might do it and come to do it on Shabbos and end up being chayiv. So something which if you carry it on Shabbos, it would not be chayiv, it would not be derech hutsoh, so then the gzera doesn't, it would be gzera l'gzera. But we're talking about things which the derech would be that if a person would do it, he'd be chayiv on Shabbos, the male is also before Shabbos. Well, so let's be the base of some of the sheikha. Shem yishkach v'yetzim and mishatechsha. We're afraid that he will carry it out on Shabbos. Now, we'll see in the next sif, what about the person, you know, so that's if I am aware I have something in my pocket, and I walk out on Shabbos with that item in my pocket, I'm chai. Because I forgot it was Shabbos. Well, let's say I don't realize there's something in my pocket. So that's a misa'ah sake. Right? I'm not being oisik in the blocha. I'm not aware I'm carrying anything. I have no intent to carry it. That's like a misa'ah sake. So why exactly where we mechivti mamash v'shar begodim? So that we'll see that that's the next sif, the chiyuv of mishar begodim. Right, we're talking a case where the person is aware he has it in his hand, he's aware he has it in his pocket, and he's aware he's carrying it out, but he forgot that it's Shabbos. He's not really keeping track of the zman that we're afraid of. So we don't want you walking around because you might come out to carry out like that. Fine. That we're afraid that he will forget and continue to carry it while it's still Shabbos and not realize that it's Shabbos.
Well, Abba Mutter,
correct. Abba Mutter Lotz is the Rishus Rab Masam al Chasheicha b'Machar Atchubul b'Bigdoy, but to carry out, but to walk out close to Shabbos with this pin or this needle stuck somewhere in his clothing. In a area where people don't use that as a vehicle for carrying things. So that's mutter. Anything like that. So anything which he'd be carrying in such a way that had he done it on Shabbos, he would not be chai. So then he'd make a gzerik. We're really coming to Simeon Shanaal. Even though on Shabbos it's aser, So Chazal didn't say, yeah, but Erev Shabbos, don't carry it in a way which is also on Shabbos, min Rabbanan, because you might end up doing a Shabbos and do this in the Rabbanan. No, because that's too far away. Now, the Fizet. Zatun Shabura, so let's take it a step by. Ho'idna, the Lekar Shasaram, Elikarmelis. So this is a quote from Magen Avraham. So this discussion later on in Simon Shinem Hey is what is the definition of Rosh Hashanah? So the Gemara says clearly the definition of Rosh Hashanah is a place that's made for Hiluch of the Rabbim. Number one. Number two, it is 16 amos wide. Okay, good. We have many streets which are made for the Hiluch of the Rabbim. They're 16 amos wide. It comes along of the Bahag, which is significant safer because the Bahag is one of the first one which we have after the Gemara. It's one of the Goyim, early Goyim. Rashi and Erev and Avov. And Rashi says there's requirements, two more requirements. One is that it has to be a place where 600,000 people are traversing, are going. The Shulchan Aruch brings that the Ramah brings that later on in Simishin. Excuse me. Rashi says another thing that there has to be mefulish mishar l'shar, that the path that you're taking has to be, it has a direct in and a direct out. But if it's a road which is going to be curving, etc., so that's not Rosh Hashanah. So the assumption of the next generation of poskim after the Shulchan Aruch, the Taz and Magen Avraham, was that the requirement of 600,000 is halacha l'maaseh. So therefore, they said very definitively, we don't have Rosh Hashanah as Bismanos, because where do we have 600,000 people traveling on a road? Now, how do you calculate 600,000 people on the road? That's, you know, are we talking about one spot? That, right? Over how long a period of time? Right? So the Shulchan Aruch throws in Lashon of their B'chol Yom. That Rashi does not mention. So 600,000 people doesn't give you a time frame. That's, you can have the most quietest street over 3,000 years, probably 600,000 people traveling there, right? But that's not, obviously that's not what we mean. Okay, and then what's the definition of the Mokka? So the assumption is that if the road, as long as according to Rashi, as long as the road is straight, that's your road. But afterwards the road curves, so the people are traveling over there, that part of the road is irrelevant. So they say, well, Route 29, right? Route 29 is... I was in the Charlotte, South Carolina, driving on Route 29. US 29 is in Charlotte, South Carolina. It's the same route. Yeah, but it's curved a lot, so from here to there. Right? So that's irrelevant. Right? So I'm going to define, as long as the road is basically a straight road, that's considered, that's the area you'd be looking at. Okay? Do you count the people who are inside of the cars? Right, because since the car is a traveling mishasayachid, so maybe they don't count. Question, right? And then there's multiple different discussions about it. But the assumption of the Magen Avraham, etc., was we pass on lachol ma'aseh 600,000. The Bir Halacha and Shimon Hay gets very nervous about this. This is something that as a major machlokes rishonim, he makes a list of rishonim which say that there's no requirement of 600,000. Makes a list of rishonim which say that there is a requirement of 600,000. So he says it's a suffix deraisa. So how can you be makel, right? And then because there's a question: what is the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch? There's rayas both ways. What the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is whether there's such a requirement or not. So, with the Magen Avraham and the Taz again, they assume that the halacha is 600. If there's no 600,000, it's not Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, we can assume that nowadays. He can say definitively, and nowadays, like Rosh Hashanah, Melech Carmelis, Shari Lotzitz Bechavish Biyadu Samach L'Chashecha. A person can go out, Erev Shabbos, holding something close to Shabbos, Hanukkah Mishkiya, Loihavi Alexer, Alexer, because even if a person would do it on Shabbos, it's only their bottom.
Even the needle, even the wheel.
Right? Whatever he'd be carrying close to Shabbos, even if you walk out on Shabbos, he's only over at the Rabbanah. So we didn't make a gzeira l'gzeira that you cannot carry before Shabbos. So that's the Magen Avraham. Mishabura, like he says later on in the Bir Halacha and Shimon Hay, So we're not going to pass like this mug on the And he must have called several grub of Yurai, us to the summer of Hashaycha, Shkia Mamas, I feel the caramelist. Even though we have this Zayrim, and we're lucky we'll discuss it. This summer of Shabbos that we're talking about over here, right? How much is summer of Hashaycha? So the Bir Lacha discusses that might mean a half an hour beforehand. Okay. So comes the girl, and the girl says that this whole difference between the Raisa and the Rabbanon is all relevant when you're talking about some half an hour beforehand. We're talking about right by Shkia Mamish. So there, that's not Xera L'Xera. That's all part of the responsibility not to carry on Shabbos in a Rabbanon way, because it's almost impossible in that situation when he's some of the Shkia Mamish that he's not going to end up carrying on Shabbos as well. So the fact that he made the Rabbanon would be a problem according to the group. Okay. Shamish will be Yotzi. Hanush Yishkach will be Yotzi. The Chavit Mishatesh of the Meshus and Meshus. The Yabrenu Abraham is Meshus and Rabbah. He will forget. He won't be totally aware of the fact that it's Shabbos. It'll carry either Hutzoh or Mahabros Dalaramis. That's what we're afraid of. But by Tillim, we're not worried. Now, what would be the fear by Tillim? There's a lacha that we're saying, don't worry, because you won't forget that. So that they won't forget them. It's only lacha when he's wearing them. So this will be Messiah Das and Tillim when you're wearing them. When he's wearing Tillim and he wears them on Shabbos, it's not Hutzoh. We hold that wearing Tillim on Shabbos is not called Hutzoh. You don't wear Tillim on Shabbos. The person who wears Tillim on Shabbos is not called, he's Gary. So Mamonasha, what are we talking about? Right, you're saying, well, before Shabbos is okay because you won't forget. If on Shabbos itself you do it, it's not awesome to rise. So we never made the Xeris, so what's the case? So there's a problem of wearing tefillin on Shabbos because you cannot wear tefillin in the basic kisei, and he must take off the basic kisei, and then we're afraid he might come to carry the tefillin. So what he has off his head, but before putting them back on, he might walk long too far before he puts them back on, and that's if tefillin is also to wear on Shabbos. Even if you hold the Zman Tefillin, let's say, because there's a Gzeira, because of the Chashash of Hitzo. That doesn't extend to before Shabbos. What's the learner? But Tefillin Shabbarosha. Because in Shema Yishkach, we must talk about Shechashach. We start Oz, the Ponus, we Yisir Me'al Hatzim, we Yisor Abraham's Bishus of Rabbin, because she calls him Simon Shenal of Sivzai. So we're not worried about this whole story happening. Why? Because there's a mitzvah of mishmush. There's a lacha during tefillah and during lima of Torah. There's no chiyuv of mishmush in your tefillah. The person is wearing tefillah not during davening or not during lima. There's a mitzvah of mishmush. He has to constantly touch the tefillah to remind him that he's wearing them, and he shouldn't forget to not act with the proper halachas responsibilities. Wearing tefillin, it can't be kalas roish, and he can't be mafiat, etc. All the different halachas. So he has a chiyuv of mishmush. So if he's going to do mishmush, he's constantly touching the tefillin. You know, I don't know. Some people are makbid; they don't talk wearing the tefillin, which is it's a beautiful thing. I'm not makbid on that. But there's a halacha. But when I'm talking with somebody, not learning and wearing my tefillin, I keep touching my tefillin. That's the halacha. I went back one time and I asked him, Rabbi, what are you doing? He says, I'm touching my tefillin. I said, I see that. Why? So I explained to him, this halacha of mishmush. There's a halacha that you have to, if you're talking to somebody, not in learning, while you're wearing the tefillin, you have a key, you have to remind yourself that you're wearing tefillin.
But the concern here is that you'll take them off when you go to the Beis HaKisei. So how does the mishmush help you?
We possibly have to take it off before Shabbos. So the question is, will a person forget and continue to wear them onto Shabbos and then have this problem of it's all? No, because he's always aware he's wearing them, he won't forget. He'll take it off before Shabbos. But if he's carrying them, also launches behem b'samul chasheich, k'mo b'shar chavetim, it's like carrying any other item. The Messiah died to me. I'm Yishach v'Yisim Mishachasheich v'Mishas Rishos. So she Yisoeim Arba Amos. There you have the regular problem that the person might be carrying them, continue to carry them, not focusing on the fact that it's already Shabbos and that he's doing the Malach on Shabbos. Okay. Okay. Sif Zion. I will finish up the Sif and then I'll leave Reish and Gimel for maybe we'll do like Gomel. Let's see. Okay. Mitzel the Mashmesh Adam the Caleb Ere Shabbos Tamal Chashav. Caleb here means his clothing. Shem Elohim Em Darbash also lots of Bibisha. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch over here redid the Gemara. Right? But the Gemara says that a person has a heap to mash with God over Shabbos in Chashav. Hashem Yishka for Yates. Right? So the problem is Hoytzo. The Shulchan Aruch came along and said the problem is Shulchan Aruch also lots of Bibisha. But the problem is Moksa. So he redid the Gemara. Okay. So the Mishabura, the Caleb. So first of all, the Caleb Sifkat Nun Hay means Bibigodov. Just clothing. Chomokim Shadarka Lishtamish by any part of your clothing which you would normally use to carry something in. Kagan Kisin, Aturun Law, you have packets sewed onto your clothing. Bapakaguroi, Mokum Shaminag, or Niach Mesecha Chavet Chapotsov, or if it's in your belt. Right, some people would put things inside their belt. They would have a hollow belt, and they would use the belt to carry things. Shema Yishbem Ezadaber Biyotzianel Rishus Aravim. Shema Yishdaber Muksam Yitatanim B'Shat. So Mishabura says we're not going to forget the Gemara. There is the chashash of the Gemara being Motziyam Rishus Aravim, and there's also this other problem of being Metalta Muksam, which is even if I have an Erev and I'm not worried about Hitzoa, it's still a Chiyav of Mishmush because of this other problem of Muksam. Bar Shabbos. Now, so the Mishabura, who had near the who had in B'Shabbos. If I commonly put items in my pockets, right? So if I'm planning to leave the Erev, I have a chiyah to do mishmash before on Shabbos, right? I'm a lot of carrying Shabbos inside the Erev. Then I plan to walk to somewhere where there's no Erev. I have a chiyah of a mishmash to check my pockets. Okay. So. So take a look at the take a look over here at the Shar Hatsiyun and Lamates and Mem. Mm-hmm. So he says over here. So I'm checking these places because maybe there's something in there, and I might be metalto or I might move muksa. Veila Shar can't take it around the cooler. I mean, like. And if I did, I'm not sure if I have something in my pocket. So maybe I'm in Metalta Muksa. Okay, maybe I'm not in Metalta Muksa. I don't know. Why am I asking for trouble? The Dabra Motsi Virago who lost his Bekisa, I call you myself called Moses Hashari Devon. So first of all, it's not even Suffolk. The probabilities are higher than you do have something in your pocket. So you can't say something about the Kula, because a good chance that you are carrying, number one. Void the ha'ikah l'vruya b'kal. So the Prima Gadam says this argument that even if it's din rabbanon, if I can easily prevent the suffix, why should I be zipek someone around the kula? I can just see if there's an issue and prevent the whole thing. So that would be yes, in part of my responsibility to do. Then he says Arab Shabbos. He says who did the Shabbos if you want to leave chutz la'erev. Now, if you're putting up an Eruv, you cannot put up the Eruv that we build does not work on Rosh Hashanah. Right? So any city Eruv that you're working with, you're assuming, according to the opinion like Imam Ram said before, there were Rosh Hashanah this month. So I have wide streets, I have University Boulevard is quite wide. Right? I have 29 is quite wide. Yeah, but there's also 600,000 people. So I'm assuming that's why I'm allowed to put up an Eruv. So I'm assuming the whole thing is the Rabbana. So now I'm going to leave Chutz La'Eruv to Vaiter. I'm leaving from this place to Vaiter towards the Rabbana. So the whole thing is the Rabbana. The filling name of the Lidan less than Rosh Hashanah Rav, Ella Carmelis. They don't leave Mr. Rabbana. Hala Ikil of Rubikal. So that, again, this is this argument. Yeah, but we expect you, why should you walk out with things in your pocket? But you can just check it. That there's nothing in your pocket. Okay, now. So take a look over here. in the Bir Halacha mitzvah, the bottom, it's the bottom line over here. Mitzvah. So the Loshon Shulchan Aruch is mitzvah. So the Loshon Zeh Issa Gam Ken Vetur. Why are you using Loshon mitzvah? It's not a mitzvah. It's a chiyuv. Mitzvah is like it's an appropriate thing to do. It's not an appropriate thing to do. It's a chiyuv to do. Menir Lahachi Shino Haloshon. So why did the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch change the Loshon from chayiv to mitzvah? Shem Dehoi Kashulu. Masisin. So the case of the Mishnah, let's understand something. The Mishnah said you cannot walk out carrying something in your hand, some of the chasheka. So when it's in your hands, a person's aware of it, he's aware of the fact that he's carrying it out, there's clearly all the elements of a Maaser Hitzur. We're afraid he's going to not realize and focus on the fact that it became Shabbos already. He didn't do it so. That's what the Mishnah asks. What are we adding now with the price? What's the price adding more? The mission was not Machai of you to check your pockets. It said if you have it in your hand and you know you have it, that's the problem. The mission was not Machai of you to check your pockets. And even there, the case was when you were actually already going outside, and we're afraid that you might continue. The answer was, so you're already going out. So afraid that you end up going out a little later, or continuing Dalai Lama a little later. But you're in the state of Hitzor. So over here, you're sitting in your house, right? And you have no plans to go anywhere for the next 5 hours. Now, you have a minion in your house, right? And you're not going outside till tomorrow morning. So to check now, because you might walk out. The mission never went anywhere near as far as that. The more the high chayv in el the mitzvah doesn't mean a chiyuv gomer. Mashen can show me suru by the case of the Mishnah. Okay, the case of the Mishnah was a case of an iser gomer. It's also lot says. At this point in time, with something of the other, etc. This is a mitzvah to do. Good. Alfim Hashem Mechalek Agro the Mashenok at Chananya Im Chasheich. Lav Hanu Sama the Chasheich of the Masnisa. So the Gros says, no. One second. Let's get this clear. The Mishnah's case was Sama the Chasheich. The Chananya's Loshen is that Im Chasheich, which means Im Chasheich. Kavana Sama the Chashkiya Mamish. Okay. So the answer they're giving is, one second, you're right. Some of the chasheka half an hour beforehand, there's an issur of chitzur in your hand. Right? Some in your pocket, not a problem. Im chasheka, right by mamash babeshkiya, there's a problem in your pocket as well. Now, the Gra adds another connection which the Mishnah doesn't talk about. And he deals with the misasek issue. And the first heretz that the Mishnah Berurah gives before, the Ramatzim Ragul, the loss of the Kisah, Chayim Echol, Moshe Shari, the Warim, he uses that to address the misasek issue. If probability is out there, something in your pocket, and that's the standard way that you walk, so it's almost as by definition, when a person makes a decision to walk outside, he's deciding to walk outside with everything in his pocket. It's not a misasek. That's the act of how you carry things out in your pocket. That's the normal way to do it. So even though right now, at this moment, I'm not cognizant of the fact that I have something in my pocket, but I was earlier. I knew there was something in my pocket at some point in time. When I put it in, I knew about it. So that das, I put it over there, and now the standard way that is put things in your pocket, may I have them there, but that when you walk out, you'll have them in your pocket. That's part of all of the process. So it's not called misasek.
What is misasek?
Misasek is a p'tur in Malacha that there's a case where a person is osek in the malach, he's doing it. Misasa means it's occurring. For example, the Gemara said like this. There's a stalk of wheat over here. The person malach b'shoygeg, see, he intends to act. It's attached to the ground. He reaps this. He cuts the stalk off from the ground. He did a malach. He forgot a b'shah. He forgot it's awesome. But what he was doing, he had full intent to do. He intended to cut it down. The person believes that this is detached. So in his mind, he's just cutting it shorter. He thinks this stalk is not attached to the ground. It's a big, long stalk. You know what? This is hard to schlep home. I'm going to cut it in half. There's no malach involved in that at all. Reality is it was attached to the ground. So a malach of kaitzer happened, but he wasn't oisikin because he had no awareness before that he's doing it. So we can argue over here the hitzor took place, but I'm not being oisikin hitzor. So that would be the argument that it's a misasik. So that's what the garden is arguing, that it's not called a misasik. If you look at Eric Ross, like, he never says anything really, really so clear, you know. He says like, Gemara, bayayin, and then you say, oh, that's what he means, right? But, I think is what he means is he's trying to address this issue of misasik. He's saying that the sum of the chashecha and the fact that there's things that are wrong to be there is, this is the decision to walk out with everything, which is without removing things in your pockets, is a decision to carry out within your pocket, because it's normal that things in the pocket. So it's not a misas. Applying that to other areas, it gets very gray. There's some that one said when a person walks by a sensor and then the light goes on, it's a misasik, he says, because I'm not being sick of turning on lights. Right. But you want to take it to its extreme.
Right? You know it's there and you forget.
We live in Washington, D.C. So I can guarantee you there's a spy satellite watching every person who walks on the street as they walk in the street. I know that. Right? I went to the National Spy Museum and they pointed out a fascinating thing that says, which city in the world has the most spies? Washington, D.C. Their estimation is some ridiculous number about spies exists in Washington, D.C. I think it's one out of five people. So, I get to the subway, 1 to 3.
Yeah.
I was at this table right here, right? So, and I know when I walk, because there's somebody looking at me. They're taking pictures of me, so I'm making a machine take pictures. I'm not being very sick of taking pictures. I'm very sick of walking. There's no sugar taking pictures of me. Let's say our neighbor likes taking pictures of Jews. Right, so he stands with after we walk out of shul, he takes pictures of us. Not my business. He's taking pictures. I'm not being sick of taking pictures. So I set up a machine which turns on lights. I'm not turning on lights. The owner of the house is turning on his lights. So he set up a machine with that. When I walk by, his house turns on the lights. So I'm not being sick of turning on lights. Yeah, but I'm aware of it, right? And it happens every time. So where do you draw misasik? So that becomes very gray. Excuse the pun. Okay, let's hold it here.